Hi. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is April 22nd, 2026. Our top story this morning, it turns out yesterday was Taco Tuesday after all. The ceasefire with Iran has been extended apparently indefinitely. President Trump announced this yesterday and that he's doing so as a favor to Pakistan, who asked for more time for the Iranians to submit a proposal, even though apparently neither side actually sent a delegation to the peace talks that were supposed to be happening yesterday. Okay, so we have ceased fire. We're going to continue to cease fire, even as two more ships were just fired upon in the Strait of Hormuz. Two container ships were fired upon, then boarded by the IRGC. The ships then abruptly changed course and headed towards Iran. So they have ceased two boats. Meanwhile, the United States blockade is still in effect. So the Strait of Hormuz is closed on both sides still. But we're extending the ceasefire until we hopefully talk maybe later at some point. And I'm sure what they say is going to be just fantastic. Now, even as all that is going on, we got this story coming out about crypto scammers targeting boats in the Strait of Hormuz. We talked earlier this week about that Indian ship that was trying to traverse the Strait and the IRGC fired on them. And the Indian captain was like, IRGC, why are you shooting at me? I have your permission to leave. I'm second on your list. Well, apparently that was crypto scammers who had contacted that Indian ship, not the IRGC. And so they arranged payment for the toll in crypto. That payment went to the scammers. And then the IRGC is like, we've never heard of you guys. And they shoot at the boat. So, you know, it's just a lousy time to be a merchant mariner. It really is on either side of this conflict. That just sucks. As all that's going on, you've got Russia has now capped fertilizer exports. They haven't shut them down. They're limiting them. I did the math. It's a couple million tons a year worth of fertilizer that would be restricted from global markets. But this is on top of the fertilizer that's not getting out of the Strait of Hormuz, which is about 20% of the world's fertilizer. And then Russia's like another 20% of the world's fertilizer. Guys, this is a next year's food crisis brewing right now. Another extension of what's going on in the Middle East here. So food shortages in developing countries next year, probably starting this fall. You can see it coming. Now, as all this is going on, price of oil is a little bit higher, hovering around $90 a barrel this morning, pretty much where it was yesterday. Oil wasn't really affected by the announcement of the extension of the ceasefire. Now, changing gears a little bit to crypto. We've got these two stories, World Liberty Financial and Aave. Both of these stories are very important to the crypto space and by extension to the data center space, because crypto and data centers are attached at the hip now, whether the tech bros want to admit it or not. We've got two stories out this morning, both involving Justin Sun, who, in my opinion, is a crook, even though he bought himself a presidential pardon from President Trump in exchange for buying his meme coin and investing in World Liberty Financial. The first one, Justin Sun, just moments before Aave was frozen after this exploit of the Kelp Dow attack that resulted in hundreds of millions of dollars in losses for Aave, and then everybody, there was a stampede for the exits. People started withdrawing their liquidity. Justin Sun, moments before the freeze went into effect, was able to very quickly withdraw $274 million from the platform, and he was able to do it in about 5 minutes. And that's raising all kinds of questions about maybe the whales have better access to information and special privileges that you, the retail investor, doesn't have. Spoiler alert, they do. And then even as that's going on, Justin Sun is now suing World Liberty Financial because Sun alleges World Liberty Financial has given themselves the ability to either freeze one's tokens, burn them, meaning they just no longer exist, or transfer them to other wallets. So the issuing company can go into your wallet, freeze them, destroy them, or send them to anybody else, or maybe even themselves, anytime they want. This is the same World Liberty Financial that right now, as they're draining the Dolomite protocol, I know I'm using all these words that non-crypto guys don't understand. Bear with me here, guys. There's no simple way to explain this stuff. World Liberty Financial took a bunch of their locked tokens, borrowed hundreds of millions of dollars against them, completely drained the liquidity on the platform they borrowed from, freezing all of their investors out, And then they basically cashed out that money as their tokens are locked and unable to be sold. Shortly after doing that, the price of their tokens started crashing. So they came out with a governance proposal to freeze the tokens for 4 years, coincidentally, after President Trump gets out of office. And if you vote against the proposal, your tokens are going to be locked forever. What the hell is going on at World Liberty Financial? Either of these stories, which Justin Sun is involved in both, by the way, either of these stories, Aave or World Liberty Financial, could result in one of these platforms going kablooey. And if that happens, it would be the second leg down in the crypto winter. So pay attention to those guys. Meanwhile, earnings season is underway. Earnings have so far been pretty good. We've got Boeing earnings today. Boeing posted a loss, but it was a much smaller loss than expected, and therefore it was an earnings beat, even though there was no earnings. It looks like Boeing's recovery continues here. Their deliveries were up. Their revenue was up. That stock is ripping this morning. That's going to put upward pressure on the Dow. Meanwhile, Capital One Financial, that's, I'd say, a medium-sized bank. It's not quite a – it's not like the mega banks. But they posted earnings. This is important. They missed earnings. This is the biggest credit card issuer and one of the biggest lenders in the auto space. Their earnings missed, and they posted a 72% increase in credit loss provisions. So there's not a lot of detail in the article. Is it from people not paying their credit cards, people not paying their auto loans? They're not saying what, but a 72% increase to about $4 billion worth of loss provisions at Capital One. Keep an eye on that one because that is directly tied to the health of the U.S. consumer, who you may recall from Michigan consumer sentiment last week is at an all-time low in its 70, almost 80-year history. Consumers not doing so good. We got earnings from GE Vernova. Big beat and a big raise from them. GE Vernova is a company that is making the natural gas turbines that are being bought up like crazy to power the data centers. So their earnings were naturally very good. We've got a story about the SEC. I just love this. Private credit warning, guys. The SEC, and I'm quoting here, says they are monitoring emerging pressures in private credit. All right, so let's do some translating. They're monitoring, which means they're doing jack shit about it. Emerging pressures. The whole industry basically has frozen withdrawals from their program, capped redemptions. What do you mean emerging pressures? There's a meltdown going on in private credit. We just put that story on hold because war for a month. It's still going on out there. People's money is still locked up. We're monitoring emerging pressures. That's even as the SEC is doing everything in their power to almost promote the sale of these assets to people's 401ks, IRAs, and pensions, clearing the way thanks to President Trump's executive order. Guys, just a warning. The regulators, the SEC, the beat cops in finance will not protect your retirement from what's going on in private credit. You have to protect yourself from it. And to end the show, we've actually got some good news today. Greece is doing some fresh relief, some stimmies, if you will. Now, normally I'm not a big guy in favor of stimmies, especially not in a country like Greece, who had a big credit crisis years ago, right? But here's the thing. Greece can do that because Greece is currently running a government budget surplus of 1.7% of GDP. Greece actually got their financial house in order. Their government's now taking in more money than they're spending. And so they've got the money to be able to do these programs without turning to the central bank money printer or borrowing themselves into oblivion. It can be done. Austerity can work. Greece has proved it. Guys, we got a lot to talk about today. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. And as always, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this every day. And right now, the S&P 500 is positive, up 46 points or 0.66%, up again for the S&P, a combination of some good earnings reports and optimism about Iran, of course, driving markets higher this morning. The Dow is up 326 points or also 0.66%. Boeing probably a big chunk of that. And the NASDAQ is up 221 points, 0.83% higher this morning. Stocks up pretty much across the board here. The U.S. dollar is stronger. That's interesting. Stronger today. You'd think the dollar would be a little bit weaker on optimism about the Iran ceasefire. But the fact that they're not ceasing fire, even though there's a ceasefire, maybe that's why the dollar's higher here. 98.49, higher by 10 basis points. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields are just a little bit lower. The 30-year yield is down 1.7 points, or almost 2 points here, 4.881%. The 10-year yield is down 2 points to 4.271. The 2-year is off by a point and a half at 3.764. And the 1 month is at 3.642, higher by half a point. Looking over at commodities, it is green as far as the eye can see this morning. We've got spot gold is at $47.46. That's higher by almost $27, or a little more than a half a percent. June COMEX gold futures, $47.65, higher by $46, or almost 1% higher. Spot silver is at $77.71, higher by a buck and change, or 1.3%. May COMEX silver futures are at $77.80, higher by $1.32, or 1.75%. I like the shiny. Copper is up by 0.7%, platinum 2.5% higher, palladium 2.3% higher. Crude oil is a little bit higher here, up by 1.3%, $1.25 in the green, $90.97 for WTI crude. Take a look here at the oil chart. Again, oil's kind of surfing the 50-day moving average right now, moving a little bit higher. You kind of would have expected oil would head a little bit lower on the prospects of, I don't know if we call it prospects or on the extension of the ceasefire, but this extension of the ceasefire has no effect on the flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz because the U.S. blockade is still in place and the Iranians are still shooting at the boats to try to get through. So really no change to the flow of oil. That's probably why oil grinding higher here this morning. All right. Meanwhile, we've got more secondhand knock-on effects of this Strait closure. Russia caps fertilizer exports until December in global crunch. This is next year's food crisis in the making. Russia extended fertilizer export quotas until December as a global deficit deepens due to the Iran war and disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, a key route for seaborne trade in nutrients. Russian producers are allowed to export 20 million tons of fertilizers for the period from June 1st to November 30th, the government said in a statement on Wednesday. That's about 3 million tons less than they would have exported during that same period last year, that same six-month period. So about 6 million tons per year down on average, which is pretty significant considering the 20 million cap. The effective closure of the strait has cut off about a third of the seaborne fertilizer trade, fueling fears of a food crisis. Nations have raced to secure alternative supplies for farmers, but top producers, including China and Russia, have both capped exports, forcing buyers to pay premiums for limited volumes. Russia, the world's second largest fertilizer producer, accounts for about 20% of the global trade. It's already been prioritizing domestic supply with the current export quota of 18.7 million tons running through the end of May. Russian farmers also enjoy reduced prices. So Chinese have capped exports. Russians have capped exports. Nothing's getting out of the strait. Farmers are having to pay more for fertilizer. If that means farmers are cutting back on fertilizer, that means reduced crop yields. Reduced crop yields means food shortages a year from now, most likely in developing countries. This is the 2022 playbook all over again, guys. This is what happened in the lead up. We had a fertilizer crisis in the lead up to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And then later on in 2022, we had food riots all over the developing world, most notably in Sri Lanka, where there was that famous video of the people storming the president's palace and jumping in his pool because there was nothing to eat. All right. Meanwhile, we got to talk about this one. First of all, let's look at Bitcoin here. Bitcoin's price, $78,252, higher by another $2,000 here. Bitcoin continues to relentlessly pump over the last month or so. Again, guys, I see a lot of things that worry me going on in the crypto space that makes me think another leg down like this. I mean, this was our first drop in crypto winter. I think another drop possibly of this magnitude could be on the way here. Now, let's talk about some of the crypto news this morning. First, we got this one involving the Strait of Hormuz. Scam messages offering ships safe transit through Hormuz, security firm warns. Fraudulent messages promising safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz in exchange for cryptocurrency have been sent to some shipping companies whose vessels are stranded west of the waterway, Greek maritime risk management firm Maersk has warned. The U.S. has maintained its blockade of Iranian ports while Iran has lifted and then reimposed its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, through which roughly a fifth of the world's oil and LNG passed before war broke out. Maersk on Monday issued an alert warning ship owners that unknown actors claiming to represent Iranian authorities had sent some shipping companies a message demanding transit fees in cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin or Tether, for clearance. These specific messages are a scam, the firm said, adding the message was not sent by Iranian authorities. On April 18th, Iran briefly opened the strait subject to checks. Ships tried to pass, but at least two of them, including a tanker, reported that Iranian boats had fired shots at them, forcing the vessels to turn around. This was over the weekend, mind you. This was the other two boats that Iran had shot at, not the two they shot at last night. But Maris said that it is believed that at least one of the vessels which tried to exit the strait on Saturday was hit by gunfire, was a victim of the fraud. So this Indian captain had paid crypto scammers thinking it was the IRGC, and his boat got shot up anyway. Meanwhile, we've got two stories involving Justin Sun this morning. That's not Justin Sun shown in the picture there, but the rapid extraction of $274 million from Aave amid protocol security freeze. The decentralized finance sector has faced a moment of intense scrutiny following the abrupt security freeze of the Aave protocol. In a highly notable event, a digital wallet linked to Justin Sun's HTX recovery team managed to withdraw approximately $274 million in USDT from the protocol shortly after the platform initiated a market-wide freeze. All right, that's important. Freeze goes into effect, and then after the freeze goes into effect, Justin Sun is able to pull out $274 million. It's not supposed to work that way. The transaction was executed within 25 minutes of the emergency security pause. The speed and precision of this exit, completed in roughly 5 minutes, has sparked intense debate among on-chain analysts regarding the potential for asymmetric information advantages. That almost sounds like insider trading, doesn't it? While the Aave protocol suspended all platform withdrawals shortly after this activity to protect system integrity, the ability of a single large actor to successfully navigate the exit process while other liquidity providers remain constrained has raised significant questions about operational fairness during protocol emergencies. Look, this should not come as news to ordinary people. The big guys eat first. They have more money and better lawyers than you. They get out and you're left holding the bag. That is how this works in Shitcoinville, which is why I never go into this space. I never tread here because if you think the regular stock market is a rigged casino, I don't know what the hell you call this. And just wait until you see this next story that also involves Justin Sun. Crypto billionaire sues Trump-linked project alleging extortion. And again, don't get me wrong. Let me just say this. I have no sympathy whatsoever for Justin Sun. Screw him. He's a crook too. But don't focus so much. And by the way, that is Justin Sun. Don't focus so much on Justin Sun trying to portray himself as a victim here. Focus on if they can do this to him, they'll do this to anybody. Crypto billionaire Justin Sun and his companies sued World Liberty Financial, a crypto project co-founded by President Donald Trump, accusing the company of extortion and an illegal scheme to seize his tokens. In a complaint filed Tuesday in San Francisco federal court, Sun also claimed that World Liberty is on the verge of collapse and questioned whether it holds enough reserves to back its USD1 stablecoin. Sun invested a total of $45 million to buy $3 billion of World Liberty Financial tokens in 2024 and 2025, shortly before receiving a presidential pardon, I might add. Yeah, he bought himself a pardon is what he did. And he was awarded another billion World Liberty Financial tokens for advising the project, according to the suit. But he says his relationship with World Liberty's team soured mid-last year after he declined to provide more investment and support to the project. In recent weeks, Sun and World Liberty have been exchanging punches on social network X amid the project's deepening clash with early investors. In the complaint, Sun alleges that he and his company suffered hundreds of millions of dollars in damages when World Liberty secretly installed powers that enabled the company to freeze Sun's tokens and prevented him from selling any. The company also seized the power to burn Sun's tokens, which means just destroy them, take them out of existence, even though they are located in his own digital wallet, and acquired new blacklisting powers to restrict the transfers of users' tokens, according to the complaint. In November, Sun said World Liberty implemented a change that allowed it to reallocate World Liberty Financial tokens from any user to another. So there's some serious allegations here in this suit that the company can basically freeze your tokens so you can't do anything with them, or they could just destroy them, burn them, or they could transfer them to another wallet, steal them. Guys, that all of that BS, that is not part of Satoshi Nakamoto's original vision. This is like the as far from the original intent of Bitcoin as you can possibly get. Now, keep in mind, as all this is going on, World Liberty Financial is in the hot seat because they just drained all that money from the Dolomite protocol. While all their coins are locked and their early investors aren't allowed to sell, World Liberty Financial borrowed against billions of their tokens, completely draining Dolomite, which is run by one of their board members. Then they took that money they borrowed and they cashed it out. Now they're pushing this governance proposal that basically says we're going to freeze your tokens for 4 more years. And if you won't, if you don't vote for it, if you vote against it, we're going to freeze your tokens forever. This is the first of many lawsuits that are going to be filed against World Liberty Financial. Either of these platforms, Aave or World Liberty, either one of these could blow up at any moment now and take Bitcoin down. And no, that's not FUD. That's exactly what happened with Terra Luna last time, ultimately culminating in the FTX collapse. All right, out of crypto shitcoinville and into the world of corporate earnings, Boeing's commercial jet business improves, reducing quarterly loss. So I guess we'll call this good news for Boeing. They still reported a loss, but it's a lot better. And remember, things were really, really bad for Boeing about a year, 2 years ago. So Boeing's commercial jet production lines continued to gain steam in the first quarter, helping reduce the company's quarterly loss. The plane maker's sales jumped 14% from a year earlier to $22.2 billion, helped by its recovering passenger jet business and growth in its defense and space segment. Boeing turned over 143 planes to commercial clients in the quarter. That's a 10% increase, despite a wiring issue that held up some 737 MAX jet deliveries. This is the first I heard of a wiring issue with the 737 MAX, but still a 10% increase in deliveries. Things are getting better. Overall, Boeing posted a $7 million loss for the 3 months ended March 31st. That's compared with a $31 million loss in the year earlier quarter. The loss was 11 cents on a per share basis compared with 16 cents a year earlier. All right, so looking a little bit better here, $7 million versus $31 million, still losing money, but not nearly as bad as they were. The results beat Wall Street analyst estimates, which on average predicted a net loss of 35 cents a share on sales of $21.9 billion. The company still burned through $1.45 billion in cash in the first quarter, a hangover from the stringent production caps that U.S. regulators imposed 2 years ago to address past quality control lapses. The production of the company's top-selling 737 MAX narrowbody jet has since grown to 42 planes a month as officials relax some limits, even though they're apparently having a wiring issue now. But, hey, good quarter from Boeing here, or at least better quarter, less horrible quarter from Boeing. The stock is up 3.8% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $227.46. Year to date, the stock is only up a couple of percent here, but over the last year, Boeing has risen 37.5%, plus a little bit more this morning, as they have slowly put some space between them and all of the quality control issues that resulted in several crashes a couple of years ago. And of course, the story about panels falling off of the plane mid-flight. Now on to an earnings that wasn't so good. Capital One boosts provision for bad loans and misses estimates. Now, this is important because Capital One is very in tune, very intertwined with your average American consumer. They issue a lot of credit cards and they issue a lot of car loans. Capital One Financial, the biggest U.S. credit card lender, reported a first quarter profit that missed Wall Street estimates and set aside more cash to cover soured loans. Provision for credit losses surged 72% from 12 months earlier to $4.07 billion, the McLean, Virginia-based bank said in a statement on Tuesday, almost a year after completing its acquisition of rival Discover Financial Services. Big jump in those credit loss provisions. A lot of people are not paying their bills. Unfortunately, they didn't give a lot more color onto what kind of bills, what kind of debt is supposedly going bad. But $4.07 billion in provisions for credit losses. Take that number seriously. Adjusted earnings per share totaled $4.42, missed the average of $4.56 estimate by analysts surveyed by Bloomberg. The war in Iran has driven up gas prices, weighing on consumer budgets. Chime Financial disclosed earlier this month that its customers spent 25% more on fuel in March compared with the previous month. The conflict in the Middle East presents a significant cloud on the horizon, Capital One CEO Rich Fairbanks said during a conference call with analysts. If energy prices remain elevated, that would be a real headwind for consumers and a drag on the U.S. economy. And you could see that last week laid bare in those Michigan University consumer credit reports, consumer credit survey that showed the sentiment among U.S. consumers is lower than it has ever been, thanks to those higher gasoline prices. But Capital One doing all right this morning, believe it or not. Shares are actually up a fraction of a percent here, although they fell 1.5% yesterday. Currently trading about $203 per share. All right, another earnings. This one is in the good column. GE Vernova lifts annual revenue and profit margin forecasts on data center demand. There is no power for the data centers. They're building these gas turbines as fast as humanly possible. And, well, that's good news for people who sell gas turbines. GE Vernova on Wednesday raised its annual forecast for revenue and adjusted core profit margin, helped by strong demand from data centers for its power equipment. U.S. electricity consumption, which hit its second straight annual record high in 2025, will rise further in 2026 and 2027, according to the EIA, partly fueled by power-hungry data centers dedicated to artificial intelligence technology. GE Vernova CEO Scott Strazik said that the company expects to reach at least 110 gigawatts of combined gas turbine backlog and slot reservation agreements by the end of this year. The company now expects revenue of $44.5 billion to $45.5 billion in 2026 compared to its prior view of $44 to $45 billion. Analysts on average expected GE Vernova to report annual revenue of $44.5 billion in 2026. The company also forecasts adjusted core profit margin for 2026 to be 12 to 14%, up from 11 to 13%. Analysts had expected 13.7. It reported $18.3 billion in orders in the first quarter, an increase of more than 71% organically, led by growth in its power, electrification, and wind units. The electrification unit reported core profit of $528 million, up from $205 million a year ago, while the power unit posted $811 million, a 57% increase. Guys, there's no power anywhere, so the people who sell power generating equipment are doing really well, GE Vernova chief among them. We've also seen names like Caterpillar selling a lot of generators, even John Deere, even the stock doing great, even though combine sales and tractor sales are doing terribly because farmers are suffering from the trade war and now the higher fertilizer costs. But still, even John Deere is selling so many of these power generators that their stock is way up. GE Vernova is ripping this morning, higher by almost 7.7%, trading at $1,067, up $76 this morning. Year to date, the stock is up 51.5%. Over the last year, it's up 216%, as there is just this absolute scramble for power. All right. Meanwhile, we got to talk about this one, guys, because, again, I've been banging the drum on this private credit thing for a while now. Now the issues are here. But rest assured, the regulators are not coming to help you. SEC is monitoring emerging pressures in the private credit space. I mean, every single major issuer in the private credit space has halted redemptions or capped redemptions in their funds. What do you mean emerging pressures? That pressure is pretty freaking emerged already, don't you think? But they're monitoring it. We're actively monitoring the situation. The Securities Exchange Commission is closely monitoring the emerging pressures in the private credit market as redemption requests persist amid rising default rate projections, Chairman Paul Atkins said in prepared remarks. Let me be clear that opacity in this space can be an issue, that valuation, transparency, and credit quality are key. Well, Paul, the valuations are fake. There is no transparency, and the credit quality is rather doo-doo. And so all of these key things aren't doing so well here. Where is your organization? This is according to remarks he made in an interview with David Rubenstein at the Economic Club in Washington, D.C. Atkins also said on Tuesday that private credit has also helped fill a credit gap and that the SEC is working to advance the broader administration's aim to expand access to it for retail investors guided by their fiduciaries. Read that again. He just told you, we've got these emerging problems. We're monitoring. We're doing nothing about it. While they're actively working to expand access to dump this crap into retail investors, the SEC is not on your side here, guys. The SEC is helping dump these bags into your nest egg. U.S. Department of Labor unveiled a plan on March 30th to give more legal protection to companies offering alternative assets like private credit and retirement savings plan. The proposal followed President Trump's executive order last year easing access to alternative assets that also instructed the SEC to explore rulemaking in that area. Guys, they're using our retirements as a dumping ground for this toxic crap that they can't sell to anybody. The SEC is telling us here, without actually telling us, that they are going to do nothing about it. Quite the opposite. They are proactively helping this transfer of wealth from your retirement to these dirtbags in Wall Street. It is the golden age of fraud. What can I say? But we're going to end on some good news. And I do think there's some good news in here, in this article. Yeah, they're talking about stimmies. And generally, I'm opposed to stimmies because it interferes with free market signals and shortages. But at the same time, the fact that Greece is able to do this is really amazing. It can be done. Greece has proved it. Greece announces fresh relief measures after budget outperforms. Greece announced fresh economic relief measures worth around 500 million euros. That's $587 million. After data showed the company's budget outperformed its targets last year. The new set of measures includes handouts for families with children, relief for more renters, as well as an extension of subsidies for diesel and fertilizer. Prime Minister Kyriakos, Mitsotakis said in a televised message, how's my pronunciation? I am well aware that difficult international conditions add to the daily burden of the already high cost of living for our households, Mitsotakis said. The announcement comes after data by Eurostat and Greece's statistical service published Wednesday showed that Greece achieved a surplus of 1.7% of GDP in 2025, compared to a target of a 0.6% GDP surplus. The surplus was bigger than they expected. This was the fourth consecutive year that Greece's budget performance exceeded targets, creating room for the government in Athens to give handouts. Guys, this is the story here, that Greece is running a surplus of 1.7% of GDP. All right, this is the country that caused the Eurozone debt crisis in 2015. Their spending and their debt was so out of control, it almost took all of Europe down with it. There was all kinds of austerity. There was rioting in the streets. Now look at them, 10, 11 years later, running a budget surplus. And they're in a position where they actually have the cash to do something like this. A crisis hits, okay, we're going to subsidize fuel. Again, I'm generally not a fan of government handouts, but hey, this is exigent circumstances here. And Greece can do it without the money printer and without more debt. That's pretty amazing. So that is the good news that we're going to end the show on for today. I like that story, man. By the way, Portugal also running a budget surplus. The P and the G in pigs are doing all right here. Maybe, maybe one day we'll be talking about a budget surplus in the States again. But today is not that day. Hey, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Thank you very much to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee for supporting the channel. Links are down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys, everybody. Till next time, live small and dream big.